Blog Talk Radio.
Empty promises, believing all your lies.
That's how a lot of people think. They think that we, as people who have been through a lot of turmoil, they think that we're lying, and they say things like they'll help us, but then they turn their backs on us and they do not help us. So we believe all their lies of helping us. So that's why I've got that part in the song, because I'm calling them out as liars for them not doing what they needed to do. Abuse affects our lives in so many ways. What do we do when we are too scared to tell? When we have trusted someone and they did not help. Sometimes someone asks, what did you do to get punished this way? Abuse is abuse. Abuse is not punishment. Abuse is torture, crippling, and debilitating. What advice would you give others to help them through the horrendous memories? Are you there for the person, or are you part of the knife in the friend or relative's back, since you may have turned a blind eye to it? Are you claiming to advocate against abuse, but condemn the people who tell and share their stories? Do you want to be a part of the solution or part of the problem? Let's stand united and discuss ways in which we may help others. What ways have you helped in your healing journey? Are you in a constant battle fighting the negative forces within? Stop. Let's encourage one another. Are you an officer in the judicial system not doing your job to help the victim? That means you're not doing your duty. Your duty is to serve and protect. How do we open the public's eyes so they can acknowledge and feel the need to help protect the children and our citizens? The children are our future. You matter. Today, our special guest is Lawrence Drank. He grew up in the system. His mother sold him for her drug habit to anyone who would get her high. Eventually, he went into foster care. After 25 homes, he and his brother were split up. Lawrence went to group homes. It was there that he began to pad his resume as a gang member and a felon. After over 30 homes, he was deemed program failure. He landed at the California Youth Authority. 3 years later, Sparky ended up serving 20 years for a crime he did not commit. Known also as Sparky, so Sparky Lee. So Lawrence or Sparky, when I refer his name, it's both, so don't feel anything bad about that. It's the same person. He has been out over 2 years. He has a successful organization that serves foster children, adults, homeless, and those returning home from prison. Lawrence is a pastor, and he is involved in five organizations, serving as a CEO, a VP, and or communication director. He has served to a position of communication director for a potential congresswoman and a potential mayor. We at Legacy have had a total of over 40 clients enter their programs with no violations or further jail time. What is our success, some may ask? It's just we've been there and done that. Lawrence says, we focus on solutions and understanding. As a pastor and CEO, he enjoys relating and applying the principles he has learned. He enjoys working with other organizations and being part of the solution. We are not our crime. We are human beings that require love and a chance, sometimes two or three. We live with the motto, how it begins is never how it ends. Without further ado, welcome to the show, Lawrence Drank.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you, Darlene, so much. Appreciate it.
I'm doing awesome. So this is your show, so I'll let you begin and do whatever, and maybe if we got any callers, we would stop. If I got any questions after 15, 20 minutes or any statements, then I might interrupt and ask you, but I, without further ado, I will let you continue wherever you want to start.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody. My name is Reverend Lawrence Drink. Many of you know me as Sparky Lee. I used to have a show on Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light, some time ago. I just got so busy with everything else that I kind of gave it up. I grew up in the system, you know, at a fairly young age. I was introduced and, you know, how I normalized everything is really the tragedy, you know, it growing up through the system, is that the system will pretty much dictate and control the narrative. And then while doing that, they take away our voice as human beings, children, innocent, and just caught up in the system. By the time I was 18, I ended up going to prison for a crime I didn't commit. I served 20 years in some of the hardest prisons in California and later rehabilitated myself. I saw what that was being provided by the state and realized that there was nothing that they could do for me. They didn't care. There was no empathy or sympathy involved. It was just a means to an end. Everything revolved around funding, and I didn't like that. So I created Legacy Programs, which stands for Learning Education Gives Air to Community and Youth, and Air is Accountability, Integrity, and Responsibility. I came up with this in 2014, wrote my own curriculum, ran my own groups to serve the incarcerated. Later on, when I got released from prison, I was released homeless, no resources. Everything that they promised that I would have did not exist. And so I created Legacy once again, transformed it into a reentry hub, started making connections, working with hundreds of transitional homes throughout California and different states. We provide jobs, we even transportation. And, you know, people always ask me, you know, Lawrence, what is your success and secret to this? Is it's just that we work well with other people. That's it. You know, we rely on the help of and assistance of our communities. And just because I'm here doesn't mean that people across the state are not in my community. So, and that's one of the things that we do is we just work well with others and we do the job that nobody wants to do and get the ball rolling because, you know, we're 2 feet in for the one coming home. Now, you might ask why it is an organization revolve around so many different things, homelessness, former foster children, you know, that's kind of odd, right? But the reason why it's involved is because that if you are placed in 5 or more foster homes, you have a 9 out of 10 chance of landing in the prison pipeline. Those are stats, people. Those are real facts. And 80% of the people getting out are released homeless. They have nowhere to go, especially the long-termers. They've been locked up so long that their family either died or moved on. So they have no resources or no family support or any type of network in their community that they left behind. And that's where we come in. We create the support network and make sure that the person, you know, that 2 weeks where somebody's running around all crazy trying to figure stuff out, we make that 2 days, and eventually we're going to make it no days. And we're going to be able to establish everything before they get out. And my method is, yeah, no, it's I really do enjoy it. And our method has gotten us Business Person of the Year 2 years in a row. So in within 3 counties. Thank you. I'm super excited about that. And the thing is that, if you sit there, you know, we put a price tag to what an inmate's worth or what somebody's worth. And these organizations are stepping up saying, well, in order to take care of this person for 1 year, we need this much money. When, in fact, I've helped people and it's cost, I mean, I can't really put a number on it, but it hasn't cost more than, you know, $500 per person. But it has taken up all my time. My time is the most valuable thing. So, and that is the secret to my success is that, you know, when you take the value of what somebody's worth and you put the value into the person, then things shift.
Amen to that.
So somebody knocked on my door a few minutes ago. So I had to say, yeah, I'm busy right now, you know. So forgive me for that.
Oh, no worries.
But I'm still here, you know, toting the phone around.
But, yeah, that's and that's just the thing, people. Like, I understand that, you know, we walk around and we don't realize that everybody's suffering in one way or another. As a doctor in CBT, you know, or not doctor, but I've studied CBT so long that, you know, pain is pain. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are, that it affects everybody the same. You know, how they demonstrate that is a little different. But, I mean, you know, we walk around aimlessly trying to figure things out and going about our day. And, you know, especially if it's being formally incarcerated, we suffer from a thing called PICS. It's post-incarceration stress syndrome. And while that does is it alienates we alienate ourselves from the world and distance ourselves, thinking that the world's against us, when in fact it's us taking a step back because we suffer from large crowds and communication. And we're put in, you know, being defranchised is not something that people take kindly to.
But. Exactly. They don't like us to try to change the norm. And it's like society already tries to write us off as not being a good product of society, that we're tarnished or we're no good. And they try to put us into this little box.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think that's bad, how about this? And this is just food for thought, because this is really a debate that, I mean, you got to be in person to have this. But when does a victim become a predator? You know, as we're sitting there in a cycle of either violence or sexual abuse or alcoholism, there's a cycle in everything. And when you're part of that cycle and you're just doing what you were taught, you know, it's just crazy how society will disregard the perpetrator as once being a victim. They lose all chances of healing and all opportunities to be recognized as a human being that was done one way wrong from another. You know, it doesn't make any sense. So, you know, as soon as somebody gets arrested, drunk driving or goes to jail or all of a sudden is, you know, a felon or anything, then, you know, their whole past is erased and they live from that day forward. And I just don't see how that's productive in society or in the justice system.
Okay. When you go like this and you're really trying to struggle, and look, you were a kid when a lot of this was happening and you had over 25 homes that you had to go into. That was a bad situation where you did speak up for your mother, and I hate the fact that they separated you and your brother.
Yeah, well, that's what happens in the foster care system when you are too old for adoption and your brother is young enough that a family wants a child, not a teenager. So, I mean, that was a problem back in the 90s. I don't know how it is now.
And so that's what's so sad about it, though. What's, you know, like, older type of generation, like, okay, even though this person is older and we just want a kid, well, maybe I'll be able to have and keep the two people together as a family, because that's really all that they got of their own life, where they could make a difference and maybe even help you out and you even help them out, per se. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm sure you would have gratefully been happy to help whatever, you know, and with them just keep knocking you down and knocking you down and knocking you down. So I commend you for picking yourself back up.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Thank you. I remember when I was in the foster care system and I was walking home and I saw that white car in front of the house, and I knew what that meant. The CASA worker, you know, I'm going to another home. Great. So, but I told myself from that day forward, I was like, you know, I remember the last time I cried in back of one of those cars, and I said, you know, and finally you know, I was just done with it. And I said, I'm not going to cry no more. I'm not going to let them see me see any sadness. And so from that day forward, I just, you know, went in there, grabbed my duffel bag, threw it in the car and sat there and said, okay, let's go. And I've accepted life on life's terms. At the time, I didn't realize what I was going through or why. But now today, I'm very grateful for what I went through because I'm able to help other people.
Yeah, that's what I was telling some people earlier when I was explaining about your life. I was saying, well, even though he got blamed for saying for crime he did not commit, he's not hard up and saying, well, that should have never happened and get mad and angry or nothing like that, like a lot of people do. Instead, you're going like, how could I make the best out of this situation and how could I change this for these people and everybody involved, you know? And that's the way you took the horse by the reins, basically, and you didn't have nobody else's reins, you know? You basically had a plow that did not have a horse in it to pull you along, that you had to basically be the workhorse and get a lot of this done. And I thank God that you got the wonderful woman in your life that stood beside you, that y'all persevered and got this going together.
Yeah, no, me too. If it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. I'm extremely grateful for that.
Yeah,
I'm very fortunate.
Yeah, I remember you saying that before. That's why I included her in that statement.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, and in life, you can be, huh?
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, in life, you have the option to be a survivor or a victim. You know, that's just how life works. And you know, when you choose to be a victim, you choose to live in the past and to feel sorry for yourself. And when you're a survivor, you choose to move forward and to turn that pain into a cause and into a mission. And it's very personal. And that's how I would define those two in that situation.
And a lot of people think that with us doing this and that me doing this and helping get stories out and everything, that I'm still living in the past. No, I'm not. We really got to stand up and help other people. That's what we got to do. And that's not going back in the past. That's making the best out of the situation. You learn from your experiences. You're supposed to grow from your experiences. And even in Isaiah, it says, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, help the widow. You know, that's what the Bible actually says. So a lot of people want to turn their backs and say, oh, church, we don't want to hear this kind of thing. You might not want to hear it. Do you think we wanted to hear it? Do you think we as children wanted to live that kind of life? No, we wanted to be loved. We want to be treated like we mattered. And anybody that wants to come here to make some comments and support, Lawrence, may call 563-999-3517. Again, the number is 563-999-3517. I've got a question. I would see if I remember this right. I hope it was you know, that said this, and I hope I'm not going to basically stick my foot in my mouth or whatever. But wasn't it when you were living at home that you actually protected your younger brother so that he would not fall victim to these antics that your mother was doing to you as well?
Yes, I used to hide my brother and my sister underneath my bed.
Yes, I thought I remembered that. I forgot all about your sister. I'm sorry.
Oh, it is what it is. Things happen, yeah. You know, not... I mean, it sounds messed up when you say things happen for a reason. It's just things happen, and there's no rhyme or reason. You know, we don't know why. Sometimes we just sit there and go, well, what the hell just happened here? And, you know, but the thing is it's not really – it's just unfortunate that it's not our understanding. It's somebody else's. So.
Right. And like you said, we could either sit back and drown in it, think of all the hate and animosity towards the people that hurt us, or we could change our life around and show them even better, like, what you did to us is not going to, that does not define me, as you said down here. We are not our crime. We are human beings that require love and a chance, sometimes two or three. We're not the person, you know, if we are here and we are we were being abused and everything, we're no longer a victim or something. We were done this, and it's not our fault and our responsibility on what was done to us. But we grow, and so that's how we're able to move forward when we start putting the blame on other people, the perpetrators who've done this action. Then we see what really needs change with our laws, what needs change to help others. That's how it is, and you are really persevering and getting this done, buddy.
I appreciate it. I came out with a mission. I lost 20 years of my life that I had to make up for. I came out of prison with 1 year before my midlife crisis, as they say. So, yeah, I guess I did. It's just, you know, it's funny when you say that, you know, how people want to sit there and say, well, you're living in the past. But the problem is that, you know, try living with your past always in front of your future, you know. And in order to figure
exactly
stuff out and what we're going to do, we have to have empathy and sympathy for those that feel that the courage to say something. And the thing is, if nobody knows, nobody knows. So if somebody tells you to, you know, tries to shut you down as far as a victim, that's where I usually stand up and say, well, you probably need to shut your mouth and let people be people and live their life. And, you know, nobody says anything about the person that's going home and with a drinking problem, you know, and we don't talk about your relationship with your wife. So, you know, but so don't talk about what I talk about. Yeah, that's totally inappropriate. No, but I just say that to say that, you know, you don't know what's going on in somebody else's life, that it's not our business to shut somebody up. If that's what they're doing to make them a better human being, then you let them be a better human being. It's not infringing on my rights or freedoms. I don't care. And so that's, you know, that kind of bothers me. That's, you know, it sounds like somebody trying to cover something up, honestly, but that's just me.
Yeah, it kind of bothers me too when they were there. Don't you hate the phrase such as this when they, well, if that would have happened to me, I would have done this, I would have done that. They don't know what they would have done if they would have lived in our situation or your situation. You know what I'm saying? They don't know how they would have dealt with it.
Oh, no, absolutely. Nobody knows. And the thing is that, you know, it's – but, you know, one thing I've learned, Arlene, is that just, you know, people are stupid. I mean, I don't know any nice way to put it. It's just humans are stupid. We do not think sometimes, and we just do and go forward. And, you know, the best of us make the worst mistakes, and the worst of us make the best mistakes. It's just kind of how it is. So, I don't know.
Exactly. So when you got out of jail, you basically were doing like, how could I make the best out of this situation, and what am I going to do to make a better life for me and my wife, right?
Yeah, well, I was mad. I was pissed off. You just released me homeless with no resources. Tell me I can't do anything or go anywhere, that, you know, pretty much parole told me I could go live under a bridge, and they were fine with that. And so I had three options. And I tell people this all the time. I had the option to go back to prison and say, you know what, throw my hands up and say F it, and I'm good. I'm just going to go back to what I know. Or I sat there, you know, but if I was going back to prison, I mean, I was going to make it worth it. So I started putting a list together of people that I was really going to make it worth it, you know, that these people were going to feel my pain. And then the other one was just kill myself. And then, you know, and then I sat there and I went through those two choices, and I said, no, you know what? I'm going to use this as an example. I said, I'm going to expose the system for what they do and what they say they do and they don't. And I'm going to create something that's genuine, homegrown, and that isn't bought by the system. And so, and that's what legacy is. Legacy is not bought by anybody. It's homegrown. I do what I want. I work with who I want. I have full control. I don't have anybody telling me how I can or can't spend my money. So, and I enjoy that.
So if y'all got a bone to pick with somebody and go by his example here, I'm fighting the system, you know, get with people that actually cared, like Lawrence here. I'm sure he wouldn't mind you calling him up when you got a problem or something like that. He'll be glad to talk to you. He's helped a lot of people. So instead of feeling like the violence and giving into that violence, reach out to people like us who we could try our best to help you out. And we'll do our dangest to get you on the right foot. You know, like, you really need, your voice matters. You matter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you go through a traumatic experience, it's, you know, life experiences takes part of us through the process, and we lose parts of our soul, parts of our character, and who we are and who we're supposed to be, and we learn to be something different. And that's just the thing, is that, you know, by speaking, that brings back the power. You control the narrative. You get the power back that, you know, that was taken in one way, shape, or form. Just like with we just contracted with a publisher recently, and one of my names I wanted to, yeah, we did.
All right.
So, and that was one of the things, is that we wanted to make sure that the Justice Impacted people had a voice, and they got their names back. And they weren't given names or they weren't given numbers and penal codes and all this stuff that boxes the humanity out. We gave them back their God-given names. And so now we have a contract with a publishing company that allows inmates and socially impacted folks to write books about their life and to heal through the process. And it's at a reasonable price. So it's, nobody can sit there and say, hey, I don't have thousands of dollars to get published. And it was a really good deal because, you know, we go through Amazon now and, you know, paperback copies, digital copies, and it's really a great idea to be able, and it's just a gift to be able to say, hey guys, write down your stories, let's roll with this, and we're putting stuff together. So yes. I'm really excited about that.
That's amazing. I've been saying that you needed to do your book and everything, so now it looks like it's in the works, right?
Oh, my book. Yeah, I don't know. I'm supposed to be going back in 2 weeks to work, so I'm thinking about it, though.
Don't think about do.
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
I
definitely
really
need to.
I'm for you because, you know, a lot of people, I think that's going to make a bigger impact once you get your book published and everything, and it's out there in black and white. More people will can read your book and see your stories and like, ha-ha. I mean, I could hear him on the radio. I could hear him and see him at Facebook or anything. But when they have the black and white, your words sitting right in front of them when they're reading it, and they could always go back to that as a reference, that's always going to pull a lot more weight.
Oh, I agree. And I'm super excited about this opportunity. No, I appreciate that. I'm more excited for the guys, you know, that I work with in prison, because for a few years now they've been asking like, hey, you know, we want to do this, but they have a lack of they don't have resources like I do. So all I did was just create an avenue for them, because they deserve that too. You know, and when you do stuff like that for the incarcerated and for the families of the incarcerated, you just, you turn your pain into purpose, kind of. And so I'm extremely grateful and humble that I got the opportunity to do that. It's too bad nobody thought of it before.
Oh, so. Yeah. That is very bad to think about that. You know, and there's been plenty of these other, like, for about a week or so, like or 3 or 4 days, at some of these seminars, kind of like ours, that they do it across Zoom, and they get to hear the different people's stories of survival or something like that. It'd be great to have something like y'all's organization doing a little seminar-like thing over Zoom or something and getting the word out and spreading about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're just kind of, you know, tucked away in, I mean, you could find us. We're just tucked away behind behind the scenes because we don't advertise a lot of stuff we do. And like I said, you know, we don't have multi-million-dollar contracts with the state to do what we do. So it's but yeah, no, absolutely. We're always willing to put ourselves out there a little bit, but you know, we try to remain quality over quantity and as in the shadows as we can.
You know, y'all can look it up online, Legacy Programs Education and Reentry.com.
Yeah, that's our website, Legacy Programs Education, Legacy Programs Education and Reentry.com. Yeah.
Okay, yes. Well, I think you're really doing a great job, and, you know, I don't understand why these other places hadn't even thought about that. Well, of course, some people just thought about it and would not even attempt to do it, but you went out and you grabbed the bull by the horns.
Yeah, you know, I just didn't take no for an answer. I'm tired of people telling me what to do, that, and especially, oh my goodness, you know, what I can and can't do. That really,
oh, yeah,
that really gets me.
Oh, yeah, can and can't do, yeah. I was about to throw that in, can and can't do, yes.
Yeah, I love it when they sit there and they go, but Lawrence, you can't do that. Okay, yeah. All right, cool.
I'll show you, you know.
Yeah, don't ever tell me I can't do something, because I think the last time somebody told me I couldn't do something, I tried doing a backflip and really hurt myself. So that's...
Ooh. So you can do it,
yeah,
but we don't want you injured, okay? Don't try that.
Yeah. No problem. But, no, that's just how I am. I'm, you know, I am that's just how I do it. You know, you tell me I can't do something, I'm like, all right, hold on, let me show you something. Oh, good times.
I remember at times when all of a sudden my face expressed and I wanted it so bad to get out there and do, you know, and so there was a spark that every time somebody goes, you cannot do, and I'm like, I cannot what? What do you say I cannot do? But my family had always told me I cannot, I'm not smart enough to, you know, get a degree in college, and then, but I have an associate's degree in medical code and billing, so yet they said I couldn't do it. So
yeah.
It's like, well,
now look at you.
You know? Yeah, and they thought that I was going to remain silent the rest of my life and not get out there, but it's like, no, you can't get out there and tell. No, you can't. Excuse me? I think I got to now, for sure.
Yeah. No, and that's just
and
how it is. You can't stop.
And really, I think that's what God wants us to do. The Bible says to use our stories to help others.
And well, and that's
that
just the thing. I mean,
defiant,
yeah, but I mean, we grew up our whole life.
God,
that,
know?
Yeah, but people tell us what, you know, like, that's how we're supposed to, you know, live our life, and that's how we're supposed to go by a certain standard, and we're just breaking those ceilings. I mean, that's how what we're supposed to do. We're tired of people telling us what we can and can't say and what we can and can't do.
Especially when there's a lot of failures for the system.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, it just pisses me off. Like, we refer to the system as the all-knowing and the, you know, saving lives and doing all this good. And the system, I don't know what system they're looking at. The system has been broken for a long time. People just choose to ignore it.
Exactly, and everybody keeps saying, well, you know, it's a really good system. Well, you know, in Tennessee, we got the new sex abuse laws and trafficking, and I said, well, that's well and good. I said, but when there are certain people like the governor of Tennessee and Senator Jack Johnson and all them other people that sweep and drop some of the charges of the sex abuse when they know that somebody raped a little kid or raped this 15-year-old in a PE thing, and they just keep dropping the charges on that. They're just as bad as the perpetrators when they're sweeping it under the rug and dropping the charges and not protecting these kids. It's mandated reporting in the state of Tennessee, and they're going against their own laws. So I think people like that need to go under the jail themselves, you know?
Well, I mean, people aren't going to like this, but, you know, those laws are made certain laws were created for certain people. That's just how it is. The drugs and the gangs and everything else were made for the lower goal, and those laws were, you know, created the way they were. And the sex offender laws, those were created for the rich people. I hate to say it like that and sound, you know, but I truly believe those laws were created for them. So, because that is, if you notice, like, they are so soft on sex crimes. You know, when it comes to certain people, and it's real odd that you're going to put somebody away for a joint longer than you will for touching a child. And I know why they do it now, but at the time I was like, that's odd. You know, somebody gets 6 years for this crime, but they get 10 or 20 for this one. So, and then they get to pick and choose, of course, what they want to do as far as who they want to prosecute. So.
Exactly, and I don't know whether you're aware of this or not, but there's a lot of states, there's 11, 10 or 11 that have signed a thing where nobody under the age of 18 can marry. The rest of the United States has got some stipulations. A lot of them do have stipulations where, like, if even a 12-year-old gets pregnant by a man, do you know the judge go ahead and say, even without the parents' guidance or whatever, the judge could write off and say, you're going to marry this man, not a kid, not a teenager, you're going to marry this man. So this man does not have to pay the criminal charges. And I think that's wrong, because you're going like this and you're allowing this perpetrator to sexually abuse this young kid and making her marry, you know, and you're making her get raped every day then, several times a day at times. How's that really helping a kid? What's wrong with the system now? Right. Y'all might not be aware of it, but y'all need to check into that, because there's a lot of child marriages going on and swept under the rug. Even though the state might say, oh, you got to be 17 to get married. No, there's no stipulation on it. In some places where it gets swept under the rug, where in Alabama there was a 14-year-old. And then I thought, well, you know, it said, well, marriages – well, they force the young ones, you know, they get pregnant, right? So then I looked at Tennessee several years back, where there was an 11-year-old boy who married a 20-something-year-old woman. How was that allowed? You know?
Yeah.
Something is seriously wrong with our system that's allowing this kind of stuff, for allowing our kids to be sold and done sexually. The system's messed up, people. Y'all might not believe me, but I'm being honest with y'all. I would not lie about it. And it's scary.
Yeah.
Thanks to Connecticut and some other states, look it up, that they said absolutely no marriage to the age of 18. Y'all check it up online. Y'all see what I'm talking about. There's proof out there. You look up the youngest age to have married in the United States for said years and stuff. Look it up. Y'all find out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is it messed up or is it set up?
It sounds like it's set up, because it's going like this, and because even if the parents say, no, we want to prosecute this rapist for raping our child. And then the judge says, no, you know, the child's going to marry this adult man.
Yeah.
And they're overstepping the relationship and not protecting the kids. So that's even more failure right there, you know.
Yeah. I agree. System is so messed up. You know, they get to pick and choose what they want to, you know, what they want to do, what they choose to do. It's just unfortunate.
Exactly.
Really.
Exactly. And kids are our gifts. We are to cherish them. We are to treat them, respect them, bring them up in the ways of the Lord, nurture them. When I hold my kids and I think about my kids, You know, I think about, I just at times cry because it's like the love I feel for them is a lot different than I've ever had in my life from, you know, my own parents, you know. And I thank God for the opportunity that I'm able to, at least, that helps some healing in some way for me to hold my kids and my grandkids.
Yeah.
Did
no,
that
absolutely.
Help you out once you had your son, too?
I think with my son, the best thing I get out of it is that I get to change the cycle. You know, he has a chance, the chances I didn't have when I was growing up. You know, I give him the life that I wanted to have for many years. And I think that's my favorite part of being an adult.
Yes.
Honestly. So that's why I enjoy doing
thank you. Thank you so much for being one that's being a role model. And like I asked in that writing, you know, what are you doing to change today, you know, and you, it's been evident what you've been doing.
Yeah. No, I just think it's God driven. You know, I get these ideas in my sleep and come across, and they ask me, you know, hey, can you do this? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, let's find out. And so it's a lot of trial and error. You know, I post a lot of my success online. You know, I'm on Facebook and all this other stuff and TikTok, and I post all the successes. But, you know, if everyone saw, you know, how much I really do fall on my face before I succeed, you know, they'd have a different idea of, like, you know, how, because I make it look kind of simple. You know, I put together deals and stuff like that. But, you know, what people don't see is, you know, the struggle behind it and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's not easy at all, but it's worth it.
Yeah,
and the people make it worth it.
Yeah, and I know, too, that when you are facing something like a drug addiction and that other things similar to that, that's not easy staying clean either. And got to give you the fortitude of helping these guys out and helping everybody out that you are. But I know that's got to be a struggle, and it's at times it's going to feel like I hated it. For instance, I hated it when I was making steps upward, you know, like I could get to the top of the stairs, right? But then all of a sudden, I end up going back a couple of stairs, and I used to get so aggravated at myself for that, right? So now I tell myself, well, that's where I'm at the moment, to just go ahead and accept it, give myself time to heal and pick up the pieces, a little rest maybe, then pick it back up, and then I'm able to move forward instead of keep wearing myself out thin and don't get no rest, because rest is mandatory on being able to have the energy and the strength to keep going forward up these steps.
Yeah, it takes strength, and it takes, you know, it just takes a strong person to deal with the stuff that they, you know, it's like you don't have to listen to the voices or see the images in my head. You know, I have to, and whatever keeps me every day, you know, where I don't put a gun in my mouth, it's a pretty good day.
Yes. What was that you said that your wife would do something about bringing you some sandwiches or something like that really made your day when you didn't think anybody really cared?
My wife, you know, growing up the way I did, I was very, not selfish, I was a giving person, but I was kind of, you know, it was all about me. And so there was a couple that had they were visiting their loved one in prison, and they didn't have any food. My wife went over there and bought them a sandwich. So, and then a sandwich, soda, everything else. And then I was like, hey, what are you doing? That's like $20-something. And she's like, they don't have food. And so that was the beginning of being of service with other people and actually looking out for people. And so every day or every visit that I got from my wife, which very often, I would take a photo token that cost $2, and I'd put it toward somebody there that I knew that wasn't normally getting visits. And to see the look on people's face was amazing. So, and that's just what I did, was just walk up to them, put a visiting token right there. Because what happens is the visitors aren't aware of all the stuff that's available there or how to do it or the rules. And so when you go there and you're coming out of state or you're only there for, you know, a little while, what I learned is that, but I knew the system. So I was like, so I would just make it a point to, here you go. But and that's what I did for the next several years.
Yeah, now I wouldn't really call it what you would call it, you know, like self greed or anything like that. What I call it is that you had to fend for yourself because nobody else was fending for you, and that's all you knew. So I'm glad that she showed you the compassion and this fortitude, this other side that we didn't normally see.
Yeah.
That you don't normally see. So I thank God for her coming into your life and showing you that and showing these other people compassion as well.
Yeah, she's pretty special.
Yes. It's always good to see a relationship and hear about the other half and y'all working together side by side and persevering together. You know, it does take a lot of strength for the couple, you know. Like, there's a lot of people in the world that don't have a mother and a father, right? And I'm so glad that y'all are working together to keep your family together and also to be the best parent y'all can be, as well as being an inspiration and a help to all these people who have trouble making it and showing them that they can persevere, they can do this. And I like the thought that you said that about the books. Has any of them published any other books yet, or are they still in the works or what?
We just launched it this last week, so we're waiting right now to figure out. We have some details to hash out as far as how they're going to send it and how we're going to send the manuscripts and the contracts and stuff like that. But yeah, and I think I have like 20 guys lined up right now that are already ready to go.
That's amazing. I like using Canva when I go to design my cover.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I put a little couple dollars in there, buy one of them pages, and you can use it like for one book cover or whatever, you know. But I think that's what I did the first time. Second time I used my own picture, you know. But it's all motivational. Hold on a second. I got somebody that called in, okay?
Okay.
Hello, welcome to 734.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
How are you? Yes, can you hear
me? I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Great. I'm one of your followers on YouTube. And
yes.
I just want to let you know that I think both of you are doing a great job advocating for the children. We need more people like you out there. These children are being stolen, abused. It's just horrible, and I want to let you guys know that you have people that are behind you and want to follow you guys and help you to help the children. God bless you both for what you do.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And do you have a YouTube channel, Lauren?
Not active.
Okay. I was asking him, you know, make sure... And
I think if you don't have a channel, you really should put one out.
He said he does have TikTok too, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had a YouTube. I just didn't. It's when I had time and I was messing with it and I was doing all this stuff. But I really don't have time for it anymore. I mean, we're so busy. Like, I just got swamped with 4 clients and within a week and a half, and that's and I'm doing stuff from L.A. to Sacramento to Shasta County and San Francisco. So it's but I mean, if you want to follow me, I'm on Sparky Lee on Facebook from Los Angeles. I do a lot of my on Facebook. I have legacy programs as a little group that we encourage, like mentorship and stuff like that. Also with Karina Fang, that's where I do a lot of my CPS stuff with, or I did with Family Right organization. So it's I mean, I'm all over the place. You just gotta look up Sparky Lee. And I'm not
yeah,
right by
him.
The way. So
I have him as a friend on Facebook. If you have me as a friend on Facebook, I can end up showing you his info, you know.
Oh, okay, great. Well, I have to go. I have my grandchildren visiting me this weekend, but I just wanted to call in, and I am listening. And God bless you both for all you do. It's very much appreciated.
Thank you so much for your support.
God bless you.
All right, now have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. Well, that was cool. And you know, that's the problem is we need more support like that where people – but it's so taboo to step out and say this is what we support. I mean, if it's not – and the messed up thing is it doesn't fit the narrative of what's going on in the world today. I mean, you have different movements, which I'm not trying to take away from the movements, but it's – you know, this is being swept under the rug, and it's almost like there's a bunch more distractions where – you know, like sex trafficking kids isn't such a big deal, which, you know, the government makes it look good by putting a law on it and, you know, let's do, an Amber Alert and stuff like that. But I don't know. It's my opinion that they deal with things almost like a fixed deck of cards for a game of 21.
Yes.
That's the only way I could look at it.
Exactly. And it's horrible when you know that there's a lot more people that's got a lot of money and a lot of power and nothing is being done to them.
Yeah. Oh, it's very – the system is still selective on who they prosecute and what they do with those people. It's
exactly.
It's very strategic, you know. It's – but it's like that, you know, and when we talk about the system and the who's going into those courtrooms, you know, with an average level of third grade is what people are going into those rooms with. And so, and as I called it, you know, when I got locked up, I was a slam dunk because I had a prior record. So it was real easy to get rid of me out of society, which, you know, at the time I'm not even completely against it. Honestly, I was a piece of crap and it was probably best, but it didn't warrant a 20-year sentence. So
especially when you were not the one that person did that crime. It was somebody else that did that crime and that other person got away scot-free from whatever they did.
Yeah. And that's what's unfortunate. And back then they really didn't have a lot of the what we have today. And you know, the system's explanation of that is, you know, they say, oh, they just fell between the cracks. Well, I'm sorry, but that's just not sufficient enough as an answer. That's a cop out, and it's saying that I didn't do my job, but we have to hold somebody responsible, so it's going to be you. Sorry about your luck. And
we thought. We try to say that the system's better today, which it's really not, because I've got so many friends that have got proof when they went to the court system, you know, for a case. They prove that they are 100%, you know, sane. They're not sick as this perpetrator, sex offender person that's going against them, and then the court system being so sick and given of the perpetrator, rapist, the kid and not giving it to the parent that's sane and everything. And I believe that with the justice system failing today, that they really need to be paying the repercussions for whatever happens to these kids, for all the damage that they're destroying for these parents that really are good parents, that it's been proven. Even when doctors had come up and said, these people do not have a record, it came up that this person is clean. This person is sane. This person is not abusive toward the kid. But the judges basically just throw it out because they go ahead and give this person that's per se got a lot more money and giving it the child to them where they can keep on their sick acts, foul acts towards the children and ways to even hurt the parent or whatever and try to get them in line to do whatever they want. I'm
well,
sorry,
the person
I was
that does
on that.
No, no, you're good. It's the absolute truth. They, you know, so they got to hold somebody accountable.
And unfortunately, you know, they're holding the wrong people accountable instead of people that's actually doing the crime, and that's what stinks about it.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's not right, but that's just, you know, as they tell us, that's just the way it is, right?
Well, just because of the way it is don't mean that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, they'll have to end up meeting their maker one day, and they're going to be the ones that's going to be having to suffer the consequences. And just because that they think that they might have time to say they're sorry in the end, if they knew that they're doing is wrong when they go to do this act, there's no asking for forgiveness or nothing like that when they're vile. And they, because it says in the Bible, in Matthew 6, isn't it, where it says it's better a millstone be hung around your neck and thrown itself into the depths and sea than it is to harm one of these little ones? Would you believe in me?
I believe so.
I think it's Matthew 6:18, I believe, or something like that. So it's like, excuse me, you know, you already know that it's wrong for you to do it, and you're already a lawmaker, you're a police officer, you're a judge, your attorneys, police officer all around that's covering for these hideous crimes, and still all these churches that still say we need to remain quiet, and you being quiet and not, and you turning your back on this and trying not to help these people that's going through whatever, you're just as guilty just by being silent. You're letting it escalate. You know, you're letting it get bigger and bigger, and you're letting the problem, you know, just grow and grow and grow, and then you wonder, look how bad it is today. Yeah, because you're doing nothing. Why are you going to complain when you're sitting there and you're not doing nothing about it? You ain't got no right to complain if you're not doing a dang thing about it. Are you going to just complain or grumble? Even the Bible speaks about grumbling. Why are you grumbling when you're doing nothing about it, basically? I believe it says somewhere in the Bible. I've seen something like that. You're grumbling, but you don't want to fix the problem.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of times where people aren't complaining, it's, or you wonder why. You know, I'm always a person of why. You know, like, why, you know, why do people act the way they act? Or why does this happen the way it happens? And, you know, I just love how, you know, when I ask myself, I wonder why this person has an issue with this or doesn't have an issue with this. And, you know, a lot of times it's just because they have a horse in the race.
Right.
So that's always something to consider, like alternative motive, they call it, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure I told you or not about later last year, I had talked to another church, which I gave another church, tried to talk to them about what all was going on. And they told me that I would have to go 100% what they said, that I would need to stop doing my book, stop helping others, that I'm an abomination to God for trying to help others and getting them stories out and trying to shed some light on this to try to resolve issues.
Yeah. Well,
and
that's
I said,
just,
well, I'm like,
how they do
you
it.
Come to your will. I said, they said, well, you're not welcome here unless you do 100% what we said. Well, I said, well, don't worry about it. I won't be back in your doors. You're not of God, you know, because my Bible tells me differently than what you are saying.
Yeah. Well, and that's just the way, that's how they do it. So, you know, they find ways to shut people up, pretty much.
And whether they say this is an abomination, that God don't want you to say something like that, would do something about it where it's not so much as a problem because you speak up for our kids. Speak out
yeah.
for our people. Speak out for the widower. You know, there's some preachers that knew that my neighbor had lost her husband and everything, and she had actually got me to ask the preachers, and I done asked about 4 different preachers in this area around Pulaski, Tennessee. I'm not ashamed to say that, please, she wants to have Bible study. Can y'all please come over here and do a Bible reading with her and stuff that she really wants you to? And did you know everybody rejected her?
Hmm.
So much for the preachers and that certain thing with her belief system, you know?
Yeah.
And they
wow.
also told me something that shocked me, Lawrence, too. Something that really got me is they said that God don't work miracles anymore.
Well, that sounds like it's from a jaded person, really. There's miracles
yeah,
everywhere we go.
These were preachers, and it's like, excuse me, you know, Jesus, God is the same today, tomorrow, as he was yesterday. So
yep.
why are you living to God and what he can and can't do? I said, if y'all believe that, then why are you up there? And they even told me, I said, in the Bible, it even says that after you're baptized, Christ resides in your heart, right? So I said, he walks with me, and he talks with me, he guides me, right? So they said, well, it don't work that way. I'm like, what? It actually says it in the Bible that he lives within us. He'll guide us. What? You know?
Yeah. Well, people are authors of their own books, you know, in life. They control their destiny as their narrative fits. And sometimes you just have to let them live their own life and let them live their best life. And that's, you know, that's all we can do.
Exactly. And if they don't want to listen or they don't want to hear, because I was sent with a message that, like, use me. I was telling the church to use me. You know, y'all put down about suicide, use me. You know, I was there
yeah.
before. You know, I'm no longer there being suicidal. Use me for what I've been through, and I can maybe help somebody when they won't attempt suicide or help them through their rough time. Use me. I understand. But they swept me off to the curb for that. But, and I think that was their way. You know, how do we go about doing that? Well, I know the answer to that because they basically was telling us we can't, right? But see,
yeah.
me and you are fighters because, look, I'm still doing it by doing this radio thing, by doing the YouTube thing. They're not stopping me because I know better. You know, they're not going to win.
Yeah. I remember when I first started on Blog Talk Radio, and it was 3 years ago. I was on Leona's show, and my mom sat there and begged me not to come on. She begged me. She's like, please don't do it. And I'm like, why? She's like, because of this. And she threw out all this stuff, and I said, I'm doing it. And so even my own family tried to get me not to speak out, and that wasn't because they cared about my safety. They cared about their reputation and their pride, and what if somebody
right.
hears this? And my mom did everything she could to try to shut me up, and I chose to go against the grain on that. And eventually, you know, I eventually lost my family because of it, and I choose, you know, my peace and my mission and purpose over somebody's comfort, you know. And but long story short, she ends up killing herself, and you know, I'm living my best life and she's doing what she's doing, and you know, we're all good now. And you know, that's how that story played out. But I'm glad I didn't sit there and just, you know, not, I'm just glad I didn't shut up for somebody else's purpose. You know, I'm glad that I was able to get healing from that.
Amen. Like with my first book at Amazon, and it's a book at Darlene Clark, Born and Live in Hell, one of the comments was done from my ex-daughter-in-law, and she wrote a comment, said, "Sounds made up. As a matter of fact, I know it is. Thanks, Mom, for doing this when I asked you not to." And it's like, that's a dead giveaway right there, you know, because what she had asked me, because she knew I had that book done, right? So she called me up and she goes, "Are you going to do a second book?" I said, "Yes, I am," because I stopped at a certain place where I needed to continue on, explain how I got out of that abusive home with my family as a teenager, right? And how I got out of that situation and then threatened to kill me. So she goes, "Well, don't have your husband in there," you know, my ex-husband, which is her father-in-law. And I said, "Well, that's how I got out of it." So, yeah, I got to have that in my next book. That's how I got out of it. I was married, you know. So she told me, "Don't do it or I'm going to cause you some trouble." So then she did go to Amazon and do that thing. And people tell me, "Don't worry about it," because that shows the impact on how families a lot of times will go against the people when they're trying to tell the truth and getting the word out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I said, okay.
They will.
Well, the thing about this, you know, you said you lost your family because you decided to speak up. In a way, I think we never really had that family, if you know what I mean, if it's conditional. Because that's not unconditional love.
Well, I mean, and that's just the whole thing, Darlene. You know, some of the most toxic relationships that we have as human beings are with family. Some of us, we hate our family so much and so toxic, but yet we keep in touch with those phone calls and stuff like that. It's because, you know, we're held by some belief that we owe them something or that we're blood, that means something. But in all realness, like, I think the people I've made my family are more my family than my family was ever. So, and I'm cool with that. Like, that doesn't bother me. You know, I love the fact that, you know, I got a refurbished family and I got to handpick all my people. So it's been a nice ride.
Look at the huge amount of family you got now of all the people that you're helping, and y'all are one close-knit bunch of guys and girls right there together. So
we are.
A lot bigger family than what you even anticipated, man.
No, absolutely. No, you're right. I think the people that, you know, as my wife has taught me, you know, you got a reason, a season, and forever that people are in your life for. And I've learned that people that are in my life are meant to be, and the ones that have come and gone, it is what it is. You know, I don't hang on to that where it holds me back anymore. You know, I respect it. I respect the process, and that's just God weeding out the bad people in my life. I'm cool with that, really.
Amen. One thing I wrote years ago after I first started writing my book was a little saying was, "As a child, I grew in stature. As a man, I grow in wisdom." So in the Bible, they even use woman in connotation with man in some of the emphasis, you know?
Yeah.
As mankind, you know? But so as, you know, I go on with
I like that terminology.
Yeah. So it's like, when you think about that, God has a lot of insight for us a lot of times if we would just care to listen. And if you get that little weird sensation in you that says, "Don't do this," you know what I mean? Because there's usually some kind of repercussions if you do go ahead and do it. You might not think it's all that mattered, but then all of a sudden somebody that really depended on you doing that slight little act then they're going to be hurting a lot worse if you do not even try to. Like
yep.
this neighbor lady, for instance, you know, she gets me to go get groceries. I grumble about it, okay? I grumble about it because I don't feel like taking all the groceries back in and everything. And then later I have to apologize to God. Like, God, please, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for grumbling, you know. I should be doing this willingly and not grumbling. I should be helping this person out. And so I too sin, you know. I'm not perfect by any means whatsoever.
I get it. Well, it's one of those things that, you know, we kind of just have to take what we have and move forward with it. And, you know, when they say that whole thing, make lemonade out of lemons, it's what we're trying to figure out, you know. It's just, we're going to make lemonade out of this one way or another. I don't know how exactly, but we will. But
you ever hear of that song, I think it was by Johnny Cash, that he made this car, he made it one piece of a time, you know, and he got the different parts from his work where he worked, and he was taking out piece by piece, and he got all kind of different parts from this make, this make, this make, this make, so when he went to go register, do a title for it, it had like all these big names in the title, because it was Oldsmobile, Cadillac, Chevrolet, Buick.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like Johnny.
So, you know, I just thought of that when you're saying lemon, and you're like, just don't have a lemon of a car, okay? You know, that's what it refers
yeah.
to. That's why I went over there in a rabbit hole for a second, you know. But,
well,
you know,
I got to get ready for a meeting,
greatest,
actually. Go ahead. Sorry.
I want to find out what advice would you give to other people before we go ahead and sign out and everything? What word of wisdom would you like to leave with the people?
That's a good question. I think that people need to focus on themselves and healing and realizing that, you know, what we go through, some of the strongest metals are forged under the hottest fires for a reason. You know, back in the Roman days, they used them for swords and fighting. And, you know, you just never know when you're being strengthened for what's next. And I do think that what's coming next is more so of a spiritual warfare than it is going to be physical. And so I think the stuff
yes.
that we go through is like a mental conditioning, and it's just that those times where we feel most alone, we're usually not. We're usually being carried, and we just don't realize it yet because we're so busy feeling sorry for ourselves that we just can't see the beauty, because for every one struggle, there's four blessings. But yet we focus on the struggles because it justifies and makes us feel more confident in how we're feeling. I guess. I don't know. But the thing is that, you know, we all have a purpose and a meaning in this life, and you just got to find yours. And don't let the world dictate, you know, your character traits.
One more question before you go. I want everybody to know again, what award is this you're getting the second time?
Oh, Business Person of the Year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been really nice. And, you know, really it's all about the guys I help. You know, they deserve that time that's put forward to help them. And, you know, and that's what's necessary and needed out here. So.
And I'm so
you.
Glad you stepped up to the plate and grabbed the bull by the horns against all the odds and them saying that you could not. It's like, well, you know, you wrote that bull, you got him by the horns and everything, and you lassoed his feet together and everything. Like, now watch me. I did it, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah. Please don't Please don't tell me I can't do it, because I'm going to prove you're wrong, and I'm going to do everything I can to do that. So, and that just goes to show that don't let the world be the author of your book, folks. You know, if you mean it in the right way and in a good way, and that's your intention, you know, God will provide a path for you. But quit limiting yourself. Quit thinking that you quit allowing the world to tell you, or past experiences tell you, that you're not worth it or you can't do something. Rise above it and make your own make your own story out of this. You don't have to abide by the story that's written before you anymore. So.
Amen. That's very well said. Well, I want to thank you
thank
for coming.
You.
Anytime you feel like, or you want to come in there and say different things, feel free. You're welcome to come back anytime. Just hit me up and let me know when you want to be inspirational, or whether you want somebody to come in and share their story or anything. Just feel free, all right?
I appreciate it so much. Thank you. And for all the stuff you do, and for everyone that's listening right now, you have a wonderful day. Stay blessed. And just know that when you sit there and you look at yourself in the mirror, just say, I'm worth it. Y'all have a wonderful day. Thank you.
You have a wonderful day, too. Thank you so much.
Love you, darling. Talk to Larry.
Love you, too. This has been a great episode with a friend, Lawrence Drink. Thank you so much, and God bless.
God bless.